ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। देवक्या झटरे गर्भम शेषाख्यम धाम मामकम तत्सन्निकृष्य रोहिण्या उदरे सन्निवेशय। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की। Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Shankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Purport. The first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladev, also known as Shesha. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe, and the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Because I am going into the womb of Devaki, the Lord told Yogamaya, the Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the 6 asuras, the Shadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Shadgarbhasuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, he does not do so. This is explained by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 4th and the 5th text. Maya tadamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani navachaham teshvavastitaha nacha matsthani bhutani pashyame yogamaishvaram bhutabrinnacha bhutasto mamatma bhutabhavanah. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet, everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. Sarvam khalva idam Brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet everything is not the Supreme Godhead, and he is not everywhere. Everything rests upon him and yet does not rest upon him. This can be explained only through the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. Such truths cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee, for the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavan Yascha Asmi Tatpataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. Even though the Lord cannot be understood by ordinary persons, this principle should be understood from the statement of the Shastras. A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 different processes of Bhakti Yoga, that is Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. Thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Yet a devotee always fears, because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations are affecting me. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association, and in this way, all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Shadgarbhasuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi have 6 sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas, Bhaktir Evainam Darshayati. Only Bhakti can bring one in constant in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested. And he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the six sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination, within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the six sons, Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mad and Matsarya are killed, the Shesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. This is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Hare Krishna. So I beg the blessings of all the devotees. I am speaking for my own purification. So, it's a very nice verse which gives the essence of Krishna consciousness. So, this verse was spoken, is being spoken by Krishna to Yogamaya. And just a few verses back, Yogamaya has been described as very auspicious. She's extremely auspicious for the living beings. Like that. Why? Now here we see something contrary to how Yogamaya has been described. Because what she's about to do is quite inauspicious. Is it not? I mean, she's told to transplant, or what do you say, when the child dies in the womb, what's it called? It's called a miscarriage, is it not? So she's told to induce miscarriage in Devaki, which in the modern, I mean, in our human society, it's considered extremely inauspicious. If a lady, if a wife, she's carrying a child, and you know, if the child dies in the womb, it's considered extremely bad karma. Right? So now Yogamaya is being told that you induce miscarriage. And we read further that Devaki, she experienced miscarriage, and all there's hue and cry and everybody's lamenting, oh, how bad, how inauspicious. Six children were already killed by Kamsa. Yeah, and here is the seventh child who's like, you know, dead. So how do we understand that, Yogamaya is auspicious for the living beings? So we can understand that many times we are not able to assess that how God is, you know, how Krishna orchestrates things in our lives. It's very difficult to understand. We may think something is inauspicious, but actually it may be very auspicious. And we may think something is very auspicious, it may be inauspicious. Like for example, gaining material opulence may be considered very auspicious. You get a promotion in office, auspicious. You know, you get a lottery ticket, auspicious. You know, these are normally considered auspicious. But actually in the Shastra it is explained that sometimes when the demigods, when they see somebody becoming extremely proud and puffed up, then they bless him with a lot of material opulences. So then he makes a lot of, you know, progress materially. And he becomes so proud that he even comes to the extent of challenging Lord Krishna. And the Shastras are replete with a lot of, you know, stories like this, like Banasur. Banasur had become so powerful, and he was benedicted by Lord Shiva that, okay, you become extremely powerful. And he became so powerful that he challenged Lord Shiva to fight. And Lord Shiva told him, just wait. Time will come when your pride will be curtailed. So it's like this. We can see here that Yashoda, you know, is experiencing an extremely inauspicious event in her life. A miscarriage of her child within the womb. But it is very auspicious. Yogamaya is supposed to be very auspicious. Why? Because in the ultimate analysis, Yogamaya bestows bhakti to the devotees. She somehow or another brings the living entities towards Krishna. And that's why she's called as auspicious. And not for anything else, but for this. That somehow or another, the living entity gets situated in his eternal position of being a servant of Krishna. Because in this world, all pleasures are all temporary. Is it not? It's like firecrackers, you know, like you have an explosion. Like a plate fell down there, you know. I mean, you have an explosion and you have a firecracker like, and you see the firecracker go up and like an explosion and all. It's gone. It's gone. And then again, you have to, you light another one and then you see. It all goes on, everybody, oh, wow. And then they're looking, it's gone. No, that's material pleasure. And therefore Krishna says in the Gita, you know, what is that? Yahi samsparshaja bhoga dukkhayo na evate adiyantavant kaunteya nateshura mate bodaha. So he's saying that material pleasure is like this. It's got a beginning, it's got an end. And therefore, Nateshura Mate Buddha. That if you're intelligent, then don't take part in these stupid things. Look out for what is eternal. You're going to die one day, is it not? No matter how powerful, how rich, how wealthy, how beautiful, how ugly, whoever may be. Like, you know, there's a song. Adna ho ya ala ho, sabko laut jana hai. Muflisu tavangar ka kabar hi tikana hai. I'll translate. It's in Urdu. It means if you're a very wealthy guy or if you're a very poor mendicant on the street, if you're highly educated or if you're uneducated, it makes no difference. Muflisu tavangar ka kabar hi tikana hai. It means it's a graveyard is the ultimate destination. Everybody has to eat the dust, you know, as it is said, because they don't cremate the body, they bury the body. So therefore Krishna is saying, Ramante, that, you know, Nateshura Mate Bodaha, that the intelligent person does not take part in these temporary pleasures. So therefore, Yogamaya is considered to be very auspicious, because she bestows the ultimate benefit for the living entities, that is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness or Krishna. And we can see that how Devaki is representing Bhakti Devi, in one sense, or a living entity for that matter. And she gave birth to 6 children who were killed. They represent the 6 anarthas: Kaam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Mad, Matsarya, envy, you know, enjoyment, and all these things, yeah. Trying to enjoy, trying to be selfish. All these 6 anarthas, when they are gone from the heart, then what happens? Then Balaram then appears. So these have to go out from our heart. It's quite amazing. You know, I was just once in a lift, you know, and the lift man was having a mobile phone, and that mobile phone was ringing. Yeah, many times I hear these mobile phones with different ringtones. So in that there was one song which was being played. And I was just hearing that, and it was pretty interesting. It says, "Tum agar mujhko na chaho, to koi baat nahi. Tum agar mujhko na chaho, to koi baat nahi. Tum kisi aur ko chahogi, to mushkil hogi." And I was just thinking about it. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. This is just material life. So, you know, all these things should go from the heart. Calm, krodh, lobh, matsarya. Because when you want to enjoy, along with enjoyment comes envy. Because naturally, you know, we want to be the best. We want everything good. But we are not going to be the best forever. Somebody else will also take over, overtake us. And then we are naturally going to be envious of them. So these all six anarthas, unless and until this doesn't go out of the heart, we cannot get Krishna. And that is the message here, that Yashoda, or Devaki, I'm sorry, is when she gets, when the six children are killed, and then the seventh child is Baladev. Like that. And Baladev means Guru. Guru comes in our lives. Or Baladev also represents service attitude, because he's a personification of service. When we genuinely develop the attitude to serve selflessly, we have been serving our senses since time immemorial. And now when we decide that, all right, now let me serve Krishna without any motivations. And then the eighth child will be Krishna. That means he will appear in our lives. So that's why Yogamaya is considered to be very auspicious, because she bestows bhakti. There's a nice story in this regard. When you go to Srirangam or you go to any South Indian temple, you will find that the Lakshmiji's temple comes first. And then the main sanctum sanctorum. Right? So why it is like this, the acharyas explain, South Indian acharyas, they explain. That you know, just like how we have children, sometimes we have, you know, kids, they go to their mothers, or if they get a bad result or something like that, they flunk in one or two subjects. And in the report card, it is, you know, generally it said father's signature. Now there's a reason behind that. You know, why father's signature? Why not mother's signature? You could say equal, there's no equality in the society or what. Even the school makes these differences and distinctions. Why only father's signature? Because the school authorities also realize, they know that mothers, you know, they don't really discipline the children as much. And, you know, children also have this tendency to generally get away with things, you know, do something rubbish and then get their signs of the parents, or, I mean, the mother. So the child, he doesn't go to the father, because he knows father's beating is like too heavy. Mother also slaps, mother also beats, but how much ever she beats and slaps, you cannot compare it with a father's slap. It's nothing. So the child goes with the report card, it goes to the mother. She says, "Mummy, report aa gaya." And then the mother will see, "Kya ho gaya? Kaisa? How? What's the result?" "Do mein fail ho gaya. But next time I'm going to study very hard. I'm going to clear all the subjects. And that is my promise, I tell you." And your mother will give some chastisement. "You fool, how many times you're flunking? Every year you say the same thing, but you're not studying this and that." And the son will say, makes a promise. I make a promise. This time it's the last time and I'm going to study. And then the son says, "You please take the signature of father." Must have, you know, experienced it. I don't know if you have experienced it. I've experienced it. So then the mother takes the report card, and then, you know, she's serving her husband, and then, you know, in the midst of everything, and when the husband is in a good mood, and then she produces the, you know, this, she raises the topic, like, you know, "Hamare bete ka result aa gaya." And then the father will say, "Acha, aa gaya? Kaisa aaya?" And then he says, "Acha aa gaya, baaki sab subjects mein acha aaya uska marks, magar keval do subject Marathi aur..." Or wo maths mein fail ho. And the father gets angry, and then the mother pacifies him, you know, saying that, no, it's okay. I mean, you know, don't be angry. He's promised that he's going to study again. No, don't go and chastise him and all. You discourage him. And, you know, he's now confident he's going to study. That was an accident. Just you sign this report card. And then the father is like, he's grumbling and he's angry, but the mother is there and everything is okay. And then the son gets the report card back with his father's signature, and he's happy, mother's happy, and everything is okay. So just like that, the acharya is explaining that when a living entity, after having done all rubbish, he comes to, he comes first, therefore the arrangement is made first only, that first he takes darshan of Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi, she understands, oh, he has come. So then she, by the time we go from Lakshmi Devi's temple to Narayan's temple, she goes and does that pacifying work. She goes and tells Narayan that he's come, but never mind, you just give me your mercy. And all those things are done by the time we reach the Narayan temple, Ranganath temple. So by the time all the patchwork is done and he's pacified, and then he gives us the grace. And that is why Yoga Maya is considered very auspicious, because she intermediates and she somehow manages to give us grace even though we don't deserve. Like that. There's another story is of Bhudevi Shri Devi. Many times we see that in South Indian temples they have this Lord Narayan deity, and on the right is, right and left we have Bhudevi and Shri Devi. Why is the Bhudevi and Shri Devi? Why are they there? So there's a reason for that. So when the living entity comes directly to the Lord doesn't accept him. The Lord, when he looks at the living entity coming, he sees, oh, he's done all rubbish and now he's come to take shelter of me. And that also he's not serious. If I give him protection, he'll take it for granted. And out of disgust, he looks towards the right. He looks towards Bhudevi. Just see, he has come. Like that. And then Bhudevi looks at Narayan and says, so what? So what? I mean, in the age of Kali Yuga, what do you expect? What do you expect? I mean, everybody's having faults. If you see faults, you'll find no perfect person. So give him your mercy. And then Lord Narayan, he's not happy with what Bhudevi is saying. And he looks at Shri Devi. What are you saying? And Shri Devi says, wrong. I disagree with her completely. I disagree with her. And then Lord Narayan smiles and he says, yeah, you disagree with her? I says, yes, she's saying that he's got faults. I don't see any faults in him. I don't see any fault. Why is she saying that he's got any faults? He's got no fault. You should give him your mercy. And then Lord Narayan has to give mercy and he accepts him like that. And therefore in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they worship Lakshmi Devi more than, in that sense, Narayan. I mean, they depend on her for grace. Otherwise, Lord Narayan is a little strict. And he doesn't, because everybody is afraid of father at home. And there is a statistics also, I was just going through, that those who have been brought up with single parents, without a father, they tend to become drug abusers, alcohol abusers, because there's nobody to discipline them from childhood. So then they become very opinionated and argumentative, and all those other things are there. So therefore, discipline is required. And therefore, fortunately, in the spiritual world also, we have a mother and father. Yeah, I like that. So everybody is afraid of father, naturally. And therefore, we need to take shelter of Yoga Maya, of Radharani, like that. Like, there's an anecdote in this connection. One boy, he goes to the father and he says, father, do you think becoming angry is good? Father says, no, absolutely not. I mean, is it good to be abusive? He says, no. Is it good to beat people? He says, no. Okay, good. So here's my report card. I flunked in two subjects. Sign my card. So, everybody knows that the fathers are like, very tough and everything. So therefore we need, fortunately we have, in spiritual world, it's not that we only have a father, we have a mother also. Radharani is there. And therefore when we chant Hare Krishna, it's Hare first and then Krishna. Is it not? So like that. So there are various such stories in this regard. In fact, how that Yoga Maya is responsible for connecting the living entities with the Lord. In fact, in Ramayana, there's a very nice story that Hanuman has gone to Lanka in search of Sita, and finally he has discovered where is Sita. She is an Ashok Vatika and she's sitting under the tree. So Hanuman, assuming a small position, a small size, takes up a place on the tree over under which Sita is sitting. And Hanuman is watching and observing Sita, and he has identified and he's sure that she is Sita, Mother Sita. So now he wants to break the news. He wants to introduce himself. But now he's afraid, how is he going to introduce himself? Because Sita is going to doubt whether is he really a messenger of Ram, or is he actually a messenger of, or is he Ravan himself, who's come as a disguise as Ramdut. So Hanuman is thinking, how can I introduce myself? So what he does is very intelligent. He starts chanting Ramayana. Right from the birth of Ram, that how he was born and how he was raised by Dasharath and everything, and then how he goes into the forest with Vishwamitra, he learns the art of archery, and how on his path Vishwamitra takes him to Mithila, and in the Swayamvar he breaks the bow of Lord Shiva, and how after having won the hand of Sita, he comes back to Ayodhya and is living the life of a prince, but his stepmother banishes him, and Sita and Ram and Lakshman are out into the forest, and how they have spent 13 years in the forest, and finally some unfortunate thing happens. Sita is kidnapped by Ravan, and how Ram has gone crazy in separation of Mother Sita, and then how he's going in search for Sita when actually he meets Sugriva and Hanuman, and how by Sita's grace only that Hanuman and Sugriv could get the grace of Lord Ram. Because as you know that, you know, Sugriv, they had the ornament of Sita. She had dropped those ornaments. Now it was collected by Sugriv, and they showed it. Is this something of Sita? Is it? And then Lakshman recognizes, yes, this is the Nupur of Sita. It is Sita, then that's for sure. And that's how then they come together and they join hands, because Sugriv had lost his wife, Ram had lost his wife, and they came together to help each other. So Hanuman is saying that, you know, by your grace only that Sugriv and Hanuman actually got the grace of Lord Ram. And then he goes on to further say that then finally they got together, Vali was killed, and then they came, and then Sugriva sent four messengers in the four directions, and Hanuman went into the southern direction in search, and he came to Lanka, and in Lanka he's been searching for Sita, and finally he found her, and she's sitting under the tree in Ashok Vatika, and Hanuman is sitting on top of the tree. And Sita is amazed to hear all this, and she looks up, and Hanuman jumps down and introduces himself. He says, I am Ramdut Hanuman. And that's an amazing way to introduce himself. So, and then he produces that ring which Lord Ram had given to Sita, and says that how he's coming very soon to deliver you. I have identified you, now I'm going to go back, or I can take you myself personally. And that's how Ramayana goes. So again, the Acharyas are explaining here that just like Hanuman is telling Sita that by your grace only we met with Lord Ram, it is explained that by the grace of Yoga Maya only, by the grace of Radharani only, by the grace of Lakshmi only, can the living entities be united with Ram or Narayan or with Krishna. That is the position of Yoga Maya or Radharani. Of course, Radharani is the source of all incarnations. Yoga Maya, Lakshmi, she is the source of everybody. Like that. So that is why Yogamaya is called as auspicious. Now, Yogamaya in the material world, she's a terror. Everybody fears Yogamaya when she's in the material world, because she's in the form of Durga here. Now, as I said many times, you know, mothers and ladies are very soft, but sometimes they can be very, very dangerous also. And I had one experience when I was on the train of this very amazing thing, because generally we find that, you know, mothers can be very soft and everything. So I was coming from Krishnanagar to Calcutta in a local train. And I was sitting in one of the seats, and in front of me there was a family. Not a family, I'm sorry, just a man with his son on his lap. And all of a sudden this vendor comes, you know, these toys, selling these toys and everything. And so and this small child, after having looked at this vendor selling these things, he started crying and weeping. Mujhe ye chahiye, mujhe ye chahiye. Wo chahiye, ye chahiye, torch chahiye, torch chahiye, torch chahiye, torch chahiye. Constantly pestering the father. And I was looking at him and I was thinking, wow, so good to be a brahmachari. I don't have to see these things. So anyway, and then finally the father agreed and he brought him a torch. And then he was playing with the torch and everything. And the vendor goes ahead, and about half an hour went by. And he got bored with a torch or something, and he kept it aside. After that, again that vendor came back, and this time with another toy, with a helicopter or something, and he was displaying all the thing and showing the boy, you know. And this small kid looks at him and he says, So, only the father was there, nobody else. I couldn't see anybody, and the rest, all the other passengers were there. So he said, Mujhe helicopter chahiye, helicopter chahiye, mujhe helicopter chahiye, mujhe helicopter chahiye. And the father's telling, hello, we just bought a torch for you, play with this torch. You take, and then the father was showing a torch, dekho, tick, tick, and he was pressing the button. He said, dekho, kitna acha, dekho, kitna light aa raha. And then and the son is saying, nahin, mujhe ye nahin chahiye. And then the father somehow just put it in his hand. You know, torch se kelo, helicopter nahin, achha nahin, that's not good. And then the child is like having the torch. Like, what is it? And then he breaks the torch. And he breaks the torch and he throws it. And he's crying and he's weeping and he's falling down. He's melting down and he's going under the seat. And the father's pulling him out. Again, he's going underneath. And he's coming out, and again he's going down. And I was looking at him and I was thinking, my God. Ooh, that's horrible. And it's going on and on. And then something happened. One hand appeared from the left. And that was a lady's hand. And one tight slap on the cheek. And he was a pretty fair kid, so I could see his ears became red, like tomato. And after that, he went into silent mode. I mean, he was crying, but he was like, and you know, he sunk into the lap of his father, as if his father is the most dear object in his life. And then the father said, "Koi baat, koi baat." It's all, it's all. And he's embracing him, and he's giving him the torch. You're sick here. And I was like amazed, and I was thinking about this example, that how when the living entity is nasty, and he's cribs for, you know, material enjoyment, and he's determined even after having heard so much, then the hand appears. You know, the Durga is that Trishul is there, the trident. The trident is there to inflict the pain, and then everybody goes to Krishna. Says, Krishna! You know, Krishna! It happened with me once. I was preaching to one man, and he was a very desperate person. I could see him. He used to come in front of the Lord and he used to pray like I've not seen anyone like that. And he joined my meetings, and he would come and regularly attend the programs. And I spoke to him, and he had problems in his life. He was a businessman. He went into losses, and he had to finally sell his business. And now still some debt he had to pay back, and he had to sell his two houses he had. He had to sell one house to pay back the debt, but he was not getting good price for it and all those things. And he's getting death threats because they want the money back. And he used to come to the temple, he used to pray, and he used to, Prabhu, 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 and everything. And he used to come for the programs, attend all meetings and everything without fail, regular. So, what happened one day, he came and he said, Prabhu, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I said, why? He said, when I was coming to the temple today, I prayed to the Lord, give me a signal, O Lord. I'm in trouble. Give me a signal that I will be freed from my problems. And guess what? I said, what? I came to the temple and what I saw. I said, what did you see? The pujaris forgot to put basuri for the Lord. And I saw that as a signal. And I'm confident that something auspicious is going to come in my life. And rightly, in a few weeks or something, he sold his flat. He became free from all the debt. He was a free bird. But what happened after that? After that, he stopped coming to the temple. I saw him very rarely, but he used to come. And he used to come straight to the altar. He used to not even look at us. Or he would look at us and say, Hare Krishna. And he would go. As if like, okay, now he's not interested in the meetings and all those things. I could clearly see that his interest now dwindled. And then I realized that the setup, the arrangement of the Lord, of Yogamaya being very compassionate and Durga on the opposite side, inflicting pain and suffering in the living entities' lives, is not without a reason. You know, so like that. So that is the message here in the Bhagavatam also, that Yogamaya is very auspicious. Like that. And as we can see that Baldev, Balaram, has appeared in the womb of Devaki. And Balaram, why is he appeared there? His eternal mother is Rohini, not Devaki. Now, why has he appeared in the womb of Devaki? That's because Lord Krishna has instructed him, told him that you go and make arrangements for me. And he has prepared the seat for the Lord. Ananta is an expansion of Lord Balaram. So Balaram is who? Balaram is Lakshman in Ramalila. He's Lord Nityananda in Chaitanya Lila. There's a very nice verse in the Ramayana where Lord Ram is telling Lakshman when he's in the forest. Yeah? And he says, Ramate atri vaidehi tvam aham chaiva Lakshmana tadrisho drishyatam drishya Samni Krishna Jalashaya. Tell Lakshmana, you please make a kutir for us. And he says, make it so that it is pleasing to you, to me and to Sita. Make it in a place where it's a nice woodland, there's nice water available for yagya, nice firewood available, nice kusha grass available. So take into consideration all these things and make a nice kutir for all of us. I was in Nasik a few weeks ago, and we went to Tapovan. It's a place where Lakshman performed tapasya, and he was guarding the area where Ram and Sita were living. So, as soon as, it is explained in the Ramayana, that as soon as Ram told Lakshman this verse, Lakshman immediately, he fell down in tears, and he held the feet of Lord Ram, and he said, that please, don't say like this. And now we may think that, you know, okay, he's got seva and he doesn't like the seva and he's crying. Please, mujhe ye seva nahi chahiye. I can do anything but making a cottage, that's not my service. I'm not made for this. I'm a kshatriya. Making cottage? I mean, somebody may think like this, but no, he was crying for what? I mean, he was crying because he was wanting to tell Lord Ram that in your words which you just spoke, please exclude me from my interests. Don't say that what is pleasing to me. I am not meant for that. I am simply, my swarupa is simply meant for service. So I will certainly make the cottage, but I will make the cottage which will be pleasurable to you and she will be pleasurable to Mother Sita. That is for sure. So please do not alienate me by saying that, you know, it should be pleasing to me. My life is not meant for that. My life, my existence is meant for simply service. So, Lakshman is service personified. And here we can see Balaram, who's again, Lakshman is an expansion of Lord Balaram. So we can understand that when the anarthas go away, and actually when a living entity develops the
attitude of service, a genuine service, selfless service, then only can Krishna actually manifest. Now, certainly there are so many people who are doing great service in this world. Recently I was reading the news article and it showed that Steve Jobs quit the CEO of Apple. Now I was just thinking about his accomplishments materially, and it is phenomenal accomplishment what he has done in 14 years in his tenure in Apple Corporation. Phenomenal. But still, from the spiritual perspective, it is insignificant. It's actually of no consequence. Why? Because great service done without the selfless attitude, without having offered the results, offering the results to the Lord, as Krishna says in the Gita, or the third chapter and the fifth chapter, begins with Arjuna's doubts as to should I work, should I give up work, because as you are saying, work causes entanglement, it causes bondage, because naturally work in this world has this tendency to bind us in this world. So Arjuna is asking this question that I'll be better off if I give up work. I don't want to work. And Krishna is again in the third and the fourth, fifth chapter, he's reminding him again and again that no, you should work. But how should you work? And then he says, Brahmani adaya karmani sangam tyaktva. To give up attachment to the work, to the fruits of your work. Brahmani adaya karmani, that offer all your results to Krishna, to Brahman, to Supreme Lord Krishna. And in that totally selfless attitude, when you work in this world, then the work does not bind you. Otherwise, one could have or could be doing great service, but actually if it is done with any attachment, maybe for name, fame, prestige, or for the results, for the fruits, then that karma, that is not seva, it is karma. It's only karma. And one can do great phenomenal things in this world, but one is only accumulating karma. Karma and bondage and bondage and bondage. So, even though there are great accomplishments in this world, we may do great things and achieve great targets, maybe great scores and whatever we are doing and in terms of preaching or whatever, but if there is a slight tinge of attachment or any motivation involved, selfish motivation involved, then the result is going to be we are coming back. Coming back. Like Prabhupada said, you know, that to some of his disciples, that if you have a desire, one small desire, you're freed from all desire, but you have one small desire to have one gulab jamun, you have to come back. Because Krishna is merciful. And he will not allow anyone desire unfulfilled. It's not as difficult for him to arrange for it. We have to come back to eat that one gulab jamun. So therefore, we can see that how detached service and how nishkam karma yoga, how Shuddha Bhakti has been personified by Baladev, by Lakshman, who never slept for 14 years, as we know in Ramayana. He never slept for 14 years and he was serving Lord Ram relentlessly. I mean, such examples are there for us to emulate and follow. So, of course, service in this devotional life is what? Basically, beginning with chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. That is important. You know, I was speaking with one Prabhupada disciple and he was saying, chanting is very important. It's one of the very important services. Amongst other services, you know, serving Guru, Guru's mission is the most important thing. Krishna says that in the Gita. I've got some verses which I wanted to quote with. There's no time. But we'd just like to end with one point that one Prabhupada disciple was making, that how Sankirtan is one of the very important services that we can perform. And many times in ISKCON when we are preaching, and we are preaching what? We are preaching to the people that come and engage in Sankirtan of the Lord. Is it not? Is that, that's the main essence of our movement, Sankirtan. But when people come, they find that there is no Sankirtan going on anywhere. Where is Sankirtan? And we are telling them, okay, come for Katha, you know, Leela, Krishna Leela. come and you hear Krishna Leela. But then if they come and they don't hear Krishna Leela, and then it's like what? I mean, they're given books or they're given something and they said, you go and distribute and call more people. So he said, it's like the gopis going out with pamphlets into the different villages. Come, come, Krishna's here in this kunja and he's waiting for you. Come, come. And all the gopis come waiting to see Krishna, and there they're given pamphlets. You also go call more gopis. Go, call more gopis and come, go. And everybody is going on distributing pamphlets that, you know, that, yeah, you know, Krishna's here in this kunja. And then they all come and they find, where's Krishna? And they're here, pamphlets. Go distribute pamphlets and call more gopis. We need more gopis. But nobody knows where is Krishna. Krishna's gone. So what are we preaching? We're preaching holy names, we're preaching service, preaching katha. And that's what we should be engaging in. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare Bol.